In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I was driving home a couple months ago and merging onto 250 right down here on McIntyre, and as I was in the line getting ready to go, a car slammed into me from behind. I was rear-ended, and not just by anyone, I was rear-ended by an undercover policeman. It was it was nice to be in the other, you know, the other condemning him for once. Anyway, I experienced whiplash, true whiplash, for the first time in my life. And whiplash, as you know, is that sort of that rapid back and forth movement of the neck when a sudden force of an unforeseen collision causes your muscles to reflexively seize up. Now, I'm okay, and the car's okay. But it was instructive. It was an instructive experience. I don't know, have you ever experienced true whiplash physically? It's painful. It doesn't feel good. But perhaps you've experienced, if not physical whiplash, then metaphorical whiplash. Have you ever gone from up to down in the same week in your life? In the same day? I certainly can relate, not just through the events of life, but the events of my inner life. A wise man said to me once some years ago, "The thing about you, Dave, is that you're a yo-yo. Your ups are up and your downs are down." And it was true, and it's still true. It makes me hard to live with. And I don't think I'm the only one whose life is not defined by balance or steadiness so much as ricochet. Ricochet, inner and outer ricochet. Perhaps you've gone up and down several times in the same day, in the same hour, and you know that it's painful and it is not easy to contend with, and it's not easy for those around you to contend with. Well, today's service, in the 15 minutes we've been here, has moved from joyful celebration of the palms and the triumphal entry of Jesus entering into Jerusalem to deepest despair of a man hanging on a cross and a tomb being closed with a rock. It has moved to between these two poles incredibly quickly. Indeed, there is nothing mild or balanced about the events that we remember this week on Palm Sunday, but especially during Holy Week. We are experiencing a pendulum swing and a fast one. This is not really Palm Sunday. This is Whiplash Sunday. So if your life is characterized by ricochet, well, then you're right there in this same story. Think of it for a moment from the disciples' perspective. They enter Jerusalem to great fanfare. They are at their apex. They are excited. There are crowds there waving palm branches and throwing them down like they would for a king. This is the moment they've all been waiting for, and yet Jesus doesn't seem excited. In fact, he pours cold water on the event. He tells them that he's about to die. And then they watch as their mentor and friend and leader is arrested, and they all scatter instinctively in fear that they will be lumped in with Jesus, the insurrectionist rabble-rouser. They must have been petrified. They have moved from elation to terror in a few short days, if not hours. These men had given up careers to follow him, and now it appeared it had all been for nothing. So it wasn't just terror, it was disappointment, it was disillusionment. And then there's Jesus not really helping anything at all. In fact, he seems completely uninterested in defending himself. He goes silent. He acquiesces. He prays, "Not my will, but thine be done." This is the week of whiplash. If you can't relate to the disciples, then perhaps move outward to the crowd. The crowd who's shouting, "Hail him," and then later in the same week, shouting, "Nail him." This sort of ravenous groupthink, I don't think it's actually a stretch. This is the mentality of the mob. It's like Twitter. There's a mania for praise and for punishment at the heart of the human spirit. We are fickle. The only character who is steady throughout this tragic week is Jesus Christ himself. So why the whiplash? Well, it turns out that Jesus is not the savior that they wanted. You see, they, like us, that crowd, those disciples, they wanted a God to solve their circumstances. They wanted a political savior to liberate them from the Romans and restore them to power. They wanted to be back on top. They love exalting Jesus as long as they think his ultimate aim is to exalt them in the precise manner and timing with which they would like to be exalted. And yet we see during this week the purposefulness of God to deal with the real human problems. If there is a hierarchy of problems that we encounter, problems of governments and economies are secondary. They're important, but they are secondary. Jesus has come to rescue us from ultimate and intractable problems that are existential. Those problems are sin, death, and suffering. They transcend epoch and history. They are the same problems that you and I deal with today. Now, what am I talking about? I'll give you an image, then I'm finished. The poet Christian Wiman, and writer who spoke here a number of years ago, has a new book out called Zero at the Bone, in which he speaks about his dog, Mac. He says that he and his wife noticed something strange about their already strange dog, Mac. He describes Mac as a black and white mutt who looks like a black lab crammed into the body of a beagle. He's a poet. They got Mac from a shelter in Alabama. They didn't know his history. But you see, Mac had been having some health issues recently. And so they brought him into the vet, and in the course of the vet's investigation, there was an incidental finding. What they found is that Mac has a bullet in him. Wyman writes, "I cannot overstate how disturbing this news was to us. It's not just the obvious disgust to think of some miserable man taking aim at this utterly docile and peaceful dog and blasting away. What really disturbed us and left us stunned and tearful is that Mac had been carrying around this memento of that violent moment for all these years. All the life that we had lived with Mac, a decade of daughters being born, and illnesses being overcome, and houses being moved, Mac was dragging around unspeakable pain. Not only unspeakable because Mac's a dog, but unspeakable because dogs, like Mac at least, hide pain. They do not want you to be aware of it." Wyman, as a poet, sees the metaphorical possibilities in what he's observed. And he says this, he says, "There is not a person reading these words. There is not a friend or family member from whom you feel utterly estranged who does not have, festering somewhere, a bullet in them." The Passion reading, Whiplash Sunday, not only exposes the devastating reversals and ricochet at the heart of our lives, it exposes the bullet that resides at the very heart of human life. It discloses that there is a pain that each of us carries with us, a darkness which infects our lives, that gets into the blood and eventually kills us. The Bible calls it sin. Well, Jesus, we watch as he does not turn away from that darkness. Unlike you and I who hide and who minimize, who maybe have a stiff upper lip, who deflect and sometimes even fire away at others in our own pain, Unlike us who make a run for it when the pain gets too much. Well, Jesus is unwavering in following the pain, in facing the pain all the way to the bottom. Ultimately, of course, this bullet must be more than faced. It must be dealt with. That dog, Mac, cannot expel the bullet by sheer force of will any easier than you or I can. In order for that to occur, we need a Savior. Not the one we want, but the one that God has sent. The one whom T.S. Eliot calls the wounded surgeon, who deals with this bullet, yes, by taking it himself. As Wyman writes, it's a wonder Jesus didn't shatter from the sheer pressure of all those unspeakable pains around him. But then, eventually, I guess he did. Amen.